In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen. In today's gospel, we walk with Jesus on a journey through Samaria and Galilee. Entering a village, Jesus is approached by 10 lepers. The lepers keep their distance from him and call out asking for God's mercy. Jesus encourages them to show themselves to the priests, where they will be made clean. Then one of them, a Samaritan, turns back to Jesus, praising God loudly and joyfully, so much so that he prostrates himself at Jesus' feet in thankfulness. It is then that Jesus wonders where the other 9 lepers are who were healed. It is then that Jesus wonders why only the foreigner has come back to praise God for being healed. He tells the Samaritan man to go on his way, for he has been made well by his faith. In this short story about the life and healing of Christ, my own lack of recognition for the blessings in my life is illuminated. For me, it is clear that if I am to put myself into the place of any character in this gospel, I am one of the 9. I'm healed, I'm cured, and I've moved forward in newness of life without turning back to thank God for my healing. I wonder today what my life would look like if I was so stripped of my own privilege and blessings that I could see and recognize all the many troubles in my life that have been healed because of Christ. To lighten the mood a little bit, I'd like to share a diatribe from one of my favorite comics, Louis C.K. It has been edited because we're in church. And he is very sarcastic, he's very hyperbolic, and he was on an interview with Conan O'Brien, and he was asked if he thought we take technology for granted. And he said, well, you know, right now we live in an amazing world that is wasted on a people that don't care. We have people who look at their phones and after 5 seconds say, oh, it won't do anything. Well, if you could just give it a second, it has to go to space. Could you just give it a second to get back from space? He continues, I was on an airplane, and there was high-speed internet in the airplane, which is the newest thing that I knew existed in the world. And sitting on the plane, they said, open up your laptop. So I did, and there was a YouTube video, and I was watching it, and I was in an airplane. And then the internet broke down, and they came across a loudspeaker, and they said, we're so sorry, our wireless has broken. And the guy next to me says, ugh, this is ridiculous. Like, how quickly the world owes him something he knew existed only 10 seconds ago. He says, flying is the worst, because people come back from flights, and they tell you their story like it is an actual horror story. They act like their flight was like a cattle car in the 40s in Germany. That's how bad they make it sound. They're like, it was the worst day of my entire life. First of all, we didn't board for 20 minutes. And then we got on the plane, and they made us sit there for 40 minutes. Oh, really? What happened next? Did you fly through the air like a bird? Everybody on planes always should just be screaming, oh my gosh, wow, this is amazing, because you are sitting in a chair in the sky. In closing, he says, you know, here's the thing. People say there are flight delays. Really? New York to California in 5 hours. That used to take 30 years, and a bunch of you would die on the way there, and all of the women would now have children. Now, while I admit that this is a very sarcastic and hyperbolic understanding of how our culture has grown, his point is not lost on me. And so the question I ask myself is, how often is the origin of my complaint a place where I'm reaping more than I have sown? And I want to say that again. How often is the beginning of my complaint coming from a place of privilege to begin with? Instead of recognizing my blessings, I am content to expect them. Running water, Nice clothing, a consistent paycheck, food, electricity, a cell phone, a computer, a book collection, furniture, a stove, heating and air conditioning, a car, health insurance, friendships, a career that I actually enjoy doing, a pet, the opportunity to travel, delicacies like going out to eat with my friends, or any time that I eat food or drink something other than bread and water. All of these are blessings that do not make me the foreigner in this gospel, but that keep me foreign from a life of thankfulness and worship. If I am to be broken of this comfort and this entitlement, I need to see with new eyes. I need to see with the eyes of the Samaritan. With new eyes, I can at least try to let go of some of my sense of entitlement and instead see the world for what it is. A time and place in which I have been gifted with life through each and every breath that I do not take of my own accord. If I live a comfortable life, if I never see as the Samaritan, I miss chances to thank God and chances to worship. I distance myself from people who need me, and I am potentially unapproachable and uninviting. In the gospel, it is through seeing as a foreigner that the Samaritan is called to turn back and give thanks to God. Think with me about the Samaritan in this story. He is a leper alongside other lepers. However, clearly he is not blinded by expectations of healing, such that when he is healed, he recognizes it for the blessing that it is and turns back. When the leper is changed, he feels it in his skin that his life has changed. He knows that through his healing, he has not only let go of sickness, he has been given a gift. He is a foreigner, and this world is not comfortable to him. His ability to put new eyes on his healing invites us to put new eyes on our healings. And in the gospel, we read that the lepers keep their distance from Jesus. And so I'm faced with the questions, who are the people that I keep my distance from? Who are the people who are so foreign to me that I do not approach them out of fear? And maybe more importantly for me, who are the people that keep their distance from me? Is it possible that I live so comfortably that some may feel they can't approach me for love and help? In the gospel, we learn that if we refuse to look at others with the eyes of the Samaritan, we risk being uninviting, even when we know that our lives are a gift that we know we want to share. It is clear to me that both you and I believe that this church is a blessing. And it is clear to me that both you and I want others to have community, for others to be shown love, and for others to have a safe place to worship God. It is also clear to me that both you and I must be able to look at the world through the eyes of a Samaritan, if we plan to invite others into this community, into this love, and into this place of worship. In order for me to help grow this church, I will have to recognize my blessings. I will have to turn back to Christ and lay prostrate before God and this church, proclaiming my thankfulness. I will have to then get up and go on my way, bringing others into this place where the sharing of my faith, my thankfulness, and my joy might actually be my true concerns. Because the result of the Samaritan coming back to thank God was an intimate, life-changing experience of healing. The same kind of intimate, life-changing experience that I have when I worship with each of you, that I have when I laugh with you, and that I have when I gather together over food with you, either at an altar or at a parish hall. Our own healing is a direct result of the times we look at the world with eyes that are hungry with thankfulness. When looking through those Samaritan eyes, others will see in us the truth of who we are, that we are a people who are welcoming, that we are a people who invite them into this common life, and that we are a people they want to join at this altar. Try to see with me what our church could look like if we were able not to see as one Christian, but as one Samaritan. Not to see as one opinion, but as one mission. And not to see as one parishioner, but as one body in Christ. In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.